No, but I heard.
All right, well, listen, the purpose of this meeting today is to talk about 20-foot access easements that Teresa Fish has requested the city vacate. You've seen this problem, obviously, before. You're well aware of it. Let's maybe go over it again. This 20-foot access easement runs right here to this right here, which is the boundary between lot 1 and then parcel A, which is still owned by Alan Olson, right? One of the difficulties in this thing is that the language of the owner's dedication says that all easements shown on here conveyed are all, they're all public easements. Public easements. On the act, on the note on the plat itself just simply says 20-foot access easement. So one of the first considerations to try to figure out what this access easement really is. Is it a public street? Is it just simply an access easement? What is it? I think, and I said I passed out a memo to kind of explain why, but I think, well, the significance of that, by the way, is that if it's just an access easement and they're looking to vacate just an easement, then they can proceed by filing a plat amendment under section 1020-811 of the Utah Code.
They said they were going to. Did they end up doing that?
They haven't done it yet. Heath Snow told me they would be filing a petition for a plat amendment. But if they, if it's just an access easement that doesn't rise to the level of a public street, then we don't have to have it heard under section 813, which pertains to vacating or amending public streets, which requires a public hearing and requires two findings. One finding being that good cause exists for the vacation or amendment, and also that neither, no person nor any member of the public will be injured by such a vacation or by an amendment. So two-pronged finding we have to make.
And it's not wide enough for a public street.
Yeah, if it, yeah, it's not. So if it's just simply a public access.
And it's not wide enough for a fire access either.
Yeah, if it's just a public access, then we can proceed under section 811, which is the plat amendment process that has to be filed before the land use authority. Now, we talked about in the last meeting that it might be a possibility that it would be filed before the ALUA. But by statute, the ALUA is not the body to hear this, and I'll tell you why. Under Utah Code, it says that the land use authority is a defined term, is that body which is specifically designated by the council to hear plat amendments in this case. We have never done that. In our subdivision ordinance, where we create the ALUA and delegate certain authority to the ALUA, it does not extend to plat amendments. In fact, our subdivision ordinance says that all plat amendments are just simply determined in accordance with state law. So for that reason, because we haven't designated anybody as the land use authority, that designation falls back on the city council itself. Okay, that's just a matter of state law. So for that reason, the plat amendment, when it comes, will be filed with the city council. Now, I originally thought, I misunderstood it, frankly. I thought that parcel A was also included as part of the subdivision, but it's not. It's only a one subdivision lot. It only includes lot one. So parcel A is not within the subdivision. And why that's relevant is the statute dealing with plat amendment says if any person within the area of the amended plat files an objection, then you have to have a public hearing. In this case, the only objection we would have is from Alan Olson, right? He is not within the amended, the land, part of the amended plat area, so therefore he doesn't qualify and we don't necessarily have to have the public hearing. We can just simply have it go, after we give the appropriate notice, we can just simply have it placed on city council agenda, and then it would come to the city council for a determination. The one finding we have to make, if it's a plat amendment, is we have to find, and this is really the key to the whole thing, we have to find good cause. We have to find that good cause exists for the plat amendment. Problem is, Utah Code doesn't define what good cause is. There's a whole lot of different things that, you know, could possibly go into that. But that's something for the council to determine whether or not good cause exists for the vacation. Now, in this case, there are several factors that might weigh into that. One factor is that Teresa Fish bought the property after it was subdivided. She knew, felt full well, or should have known, because it was on the plat, that there was a 20-foot access easement there. The other factor that would come into play is whether or not that 20-foot access easement and the recording of the plat creates a vested right in Parcel A for access into Parcel A. And if that's the case, if there is a vested right for access into Parcel A, then if we somehow extinguish that right, city could have some liability there.
So Parcel A is the bigger one behind it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Parcel A, the one that's retained, is owned by Alan Olson.
Okay, that's right.
So if we interfere with Alan Olson's property rights by vacating what would otherwise be a valid access easement for him, then the city could have some liability for that.
I have a question for you. If it's an access easement, it's not wide enough for a road, and it's not wide enough for a fire department, can you just make it access by walking access, like a trail or something?
Can we do that?
Yeah.
I don't know that we can just do that unilaterally.
Okay, I just wonder, because it's
not wide enough for the fire department. It's also too steep, according to that letter.
Right, and mm-hmm. and so.
Well, in my view, just looking at the plat and knowing what I know about plats, it seems to me that what was really happening at the time they recorded the plat was that Alan Olson was trying to provide access into Lot 1, and then he was also trying to provide access into his remaining parcel. Now, he could have done that a lot different way, in a lot less confusing way. He could have just simply reserved an easement that was appurtenant to Lot A and noted that on the plat. But they didn't do that. They just put a 20-foot access easement, and that's what makes it kind of complicated and kind of questionable. So, from the city's perspective, again, I think that what will happen is they'll file an application for an amended plat. It'll come to the city. Once we've given, there's some notice that has to go to affected entities and so forth, but once that notice is given, it can be set on the agenda, not for a public hearing, but just as a regular meeting agenda item, and then the city council can make a decision as to whether or not they think, you think, that there is good cause for that vacation of the 20-foot access easement.
But that would leave us open to Alan if he wanted to file suit against this.
Yeah, it would. If we did that, and Alan said, came back and said, hey, wait a minute, you're interfering with my property right. This is a vested right I have because of the recordation of the plat. And that he could claim that we're taking a valuable property right. He could claim a violation of due process. He could claim a number of things, potentially. And he could potentially file suit.
So where she signed the plat a couple of times, at least once aware of it, or should have been aware of it. I mean, it seems like it puts us in more of a position of liability if we now take it, you know, and vacate it.
Yeah.
You know, because she knowingly purchased it and signed the plat.
Yeah, sure.
Do we have any liability if we, from her side?
Well, I think the only liability we would have is if we somehow didn't follow the state statute in our determination of what's good cause, and we didn't make the appropriate findings, and didn't have all of that set out in our, you know, in our minutes of our meeting. It's that whole issue of making sure we lay a good record and a good foundation for it all.
So your recommendation then would be to let them go ahead and file whatever they want to file, and then
we can't stop them from filing an application for an amended plat.
But as far as the city council, it would be best to just leave it as is. Correct.
That's one way of, I think, maybe minimizing the threat of liability.
Yeah. So the attorney indicated last week or 2 weeks ago that we couldn't determine what that access, that you couldn't determine what that meant. And you're saying that, well, yeah, we can say that that probably was determined as an access for that back lot.
I'm not sure I follow what you're saying. Ask Keith.
I was just saying, you had kind of indicated from what I understood that we couldn't guess as to what that access was there for, because it's not.
Well, if a court of law is looking at this, a judge, he's got to look at not what the party's intentions are or parole evidence, what they would say after the fact. First thing he has to do is look at what does the plat, the plain language, say. And it said access easement. And then it's got the dedication, and it dedicates all easements to the city. It doesn't reserve. All it would have needed to say was access road to parcel A. This is parcel A. Access road for parcel A. But it doesn't say that. It just says access road. And, you know, but yet it says right here in the dedication, they dedicate and convey to the city of Leverkin for perpetual use of the public all easements shown on this plat. If I'm a judge, I'm looking, I can't go beyond the four corners of that document and look at what parties thought they intended. He has, if it's clear to him in the four corners of the document, he doesn't go there. So Mr. Olson can say, I always intended it to be an easement, a reserve easement.
An access to lot one.
But the judge can't or shouldn't listen to that, because parole evidence is not admissible unless it's unclear.
That's only if it's clear from the four corners of the document. If there's any ambiguity,
yes,
then of course the court can look to outside evidence. So that's, you know, that would be up to the judge to make that determination.
Let me ask, is there any other access point available to plot A or to A?
Backside.
All along.
So,
right,
that. So that actually would be an easier spot to do whatever they're going to do. And I don't know. We talked about this the very first time. They couldn't build anything on there. Is that correct?
So initially, this was a flag lot.
Yeah.
Okay. With that got dedicated. But you can't extend the pole of a flag beyond a flag lot to this. 25 feet is what your ordinance requires for the pole of the flag lot, and this is only 20 feet. Mm-hmm. We've got a letter from the Hurricane Valley Fire District that says that both in width of actually what's actually been built out there, because it does ramp to get to the higher level here, that it's not wide enough and that it's too steep of a gradient. It's 14 feet. The fire code does not allow a fire access road to be more than 10% gradient.
That's not true.
You can go 14 if you pave it or put in sprinkler.
Pave it or put in sprinkler?
If you pave it and put in sprinkler to the building, you can go 14 or 15.
You can go 15.
Okay.
Well, from what the fire marshal said, it's 10, so.
Yeah, the fire marshal says 10 in the letter.
But is that, does that matter? Like, what if it was just access for a pedal bike? Like, access, do we have to determine that it's for a car access or a fire truck access?
You simply said
what if it was, what
see,
if
we have a very vague easement here. Just based off of the notation up there, what we do know is it's not a utility easement. It's some sort of access easement. What level of access? Is it vehicular traffic? Is it pedestrian traffic? Is it, you know, what is allowed in it? And then, frankly, this easement area is part of my client's lot. And so, because there's no clarity there, a court would look at how has this thing been historically used. It's been dirt. It's never been paved. And really, it hasn't been used. There's a gate right here at the top. But you know that Mr. Olson has gone through it once or twice.
It is paved now.
Have you been through that?
Well, so she...
You say that
her driveway is partially paved. If I took the first 10 feet of this 20-foot easement, that would be her paved driveway. The other side of it is dirt, and the back half of it is dirt.
Well, I know that the easement doesn't follow right in line with where the pavement is. It goes up down a lower portion of closer to the road down there. It actually goes up on the hillside somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But it is an easement, right? I mean, in the end, it is an access easement.
It is a public access easement, yes. Again, like he says, the plat is a little bit vague on what kind of an access easement is.
So I have a copies and electronic copy on a thumb drive and a check for the application fee to apply for an amended plat. All that's been done here is that has been eliminated. That has been eliminated, and it says Olson Subdivision First Amendment, I think is what it says right there. And it eliminates it. The effect of approving that would be to abandon or vacate an easement. Really, you vacate a road, you can abandon other things. But the city would be abandoning that.
So my question, Heath, is, and I explained this to the council, my concern is that by virtue of a dedicated plat showing the easement, showing it exactly up to the property line, that it creates invested property interest or property right in parcel A. And if so, it makes it much more difficult for the council to find that there's good cause existing for the approval of the plat. That's what the council has to find, good cause.
Not necessarily that it would harm somebody else. I don't think
the harm comes in under Section 811.
Yeah.
Eight thirteen is the one on public streets.
But this isn't a public street.
It is not a public street. So under 811, it says. Actually, it's 812, I think. If the land use authority finds that there is good cause for the vacation or amendment.
Okay.
That's the finding we have to make. It goes on to say, and no public street or municipal utility easement has been vacated or amended, which is the case. That's 812.
Okay. So I'd ask, what is the public purpose?
Having
it and retaining it.
What the council has to find is whether or not there is good cause for approving the plat amendment, which would affect vacate or abandon the easement.
So the good cause would be that it is an easement that burdens my client's property that puts.
But she purchased the property knowing the easement was there, all of that.
Completely. Yep. Unknowing the nature and scope of it, she's now been advised by myself, by legal counsel, as to what that is, and we're asking for it to be abandoned. And the reason why I don't see any harm or that it is worthwhile to do is it can't be used for fire access. Now, if someone wanted to build a home up there, they could use sprinklers. Okay. That's fine. But it's too steep, and it is not improved. That's another issue, too. That is not an all-weather surface all the way along that. And in my opinion, any attempt to pave or gravel that 20 feet is an expansion in the scope of the easement as it has been historically used. What existed at the time that this plat was recorded and what has happened since then, it has always been used as a partial paved driveway into my client's property and the rest of it is dirt.
Who paved it? Mr. Olson did.
And he's the quite dead.
Yeah, well, he doesn't. He's never been here. He doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know what he does. He's used it all the time.
Yeah, he's just trying to make his paycheck. But the thing is, the city approved it. We filed everything. We did everything correctly. The people that had the house after we bought it were aware of it. She was aware of it before she bought it. I don't see how this is any, and it doesn't encroach on the property. I know he's probably never even seen it.
I've stood out there a walk.
Well, I doubt you know any of their history. And the thing is, it doesn't encroach on her property whatsoever. It goes straight up from 200 up to the property. The other thing is, it's not too steep. The other side is too steep, so if you shut this off, then they're going to have an issue.
The bottom line is, this road along here is unimproved right now. This is paved all the way to right here. Their buyer wants to build a home or two homes on it, I now understand, and they want to go and expand the scope of the easement and pave it. And they want to be able to drive pavement right up into their home. They want to pay a deferral amount to the city so that whatever the cost to improve that is paid in, and when the city is ready to improve it, it's done. But they don't have to drive their vehicles through dirt roads and make a meandering driveway. They just want a straight shot, and they just want to drive right up 200 into their property.
Those words are definitely being twisted.
Well, and wouldn't that encroach on the abutment? I don't know.
But that's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to.
As long as these guys told the line, hey, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
The 20-foot easement isn't wide enough for an access for your access. So
it's not, because an additional access or driveway or lane beyond the first flagpole is not allowed. And that this was a flag lot. Even if it was allowed, the ordinance says 25 feet, and that's 20 feet.
So
it can't be used as an access.
It doesn't matter. This is your property.
No, not fire.
Okay. Do we have any private roads that are less than 25 feet? Or
I don't know the answer to that.
You don't have a road standard that shows a road.
But it's access for an automobile or a truck or whatever. Yes. It doesn't have to be access for a fire lane.
Right.
No, you're right. So what does it do? If my client puts a gate at the end right here, which there already is a gate, what is the city's use and purpose? They can drive a truck up there and look around, or the public, any person publicly can go up there and drive on my client's property. That's the only thing I can ascertain from a term access road. You can access, you can go up there. But what can you do with it? What does it allow? So that's where I'm asking. I don't see the benefit to the city. What is the harm in abandoning
it? What's the harm in keeping it?
It allows the public to drive on.
But so what?
My client's property.
So what? It's an easement. That's
I mean, you just said that we didn't use it much, which we did, yeah. But there wasn't anybody else really using it other than maybe the city once in a while.
And Roger and Gail never cried about it. They used it all the time.
And the guy next door, where those bushes are,
pomegranate,
you can take those out and make a road right there.
Okay. So the bottom line is that the
bottom line is
the Olsons have a vested use in it, right?
Yes. Well, that's correct.
That's
one of the questions that we need to decide. Yeah. We need to decide whether or not, by virtue of this recorded plat, if it creates a vested use with respect to parcel A. And if it does, then in making the determination of good cause, we need to take that into consideration because we don't want to interfere with someone's property rights by vacating public street. But
if that's vacated, do they still have a claim to, what do you call it when you use a road for a long time?
No.
Like a prescriptive easement.
Yeah,
I would say even if the Olsons or their predecessors had used that for a period of time, by the mere fact that they recorded a plat that didn't reserve that as an easement for themselves, that's a clear acknowledgement, and it would break any sort of prescriptive.
Yeah, you can't really acquire prescriptive easements against the city, against the public right of way, public street. So you can't do that. The other thing is to obtain prescriptive easement is a 20-year period.
Yeah. But we also need to recognize the nature of the easement. It's this access easement. And unless it clearly says that it is a exclusive access easement, it's non-exclusive. Case law in Utah says that they're going to construe easements for the benefit of the burdened property owner, which is my client. So she has a right to go over it as well. And right now, the city has a right to go over.
Right now, we have a right to go over. That's just your interpretation. That's not.
It's public access.
That assumes that you have a right.
I do.
Beyond the city's right.
The right is there. It's there in writing.
Where?
Right there, access.
Well, it doesn't identify it as a public access easement, except in the language.
And it doesn't reserve it for the benefit of parcel A.
Sure it does. It reserves it for us to parcel A.
It dedicates it to the town. Dedication of an easement and reservation of an easement.
That's fine. We're part of the town.
I just think that whoever prepared
I'm not sure when they prepared the plat, like the engineers do, they kind of pirate language from one plat,
they use
stick it in there.
I think it's obvious that the intent of it was to carry 200 North up, and it was to access the parcel A.
I wasn't able to find any master transportation plan or B and C road maps that show 200 East ever extending beyond right there.
He's not saying that.
What did you say? It was always thought that it was going to extend right into a hillside.
No, I'm just saying, when you look at this like we do from an outside perspective, mm-hmm. you can tell that they messed up on this plat, but it's easy to tell what they were trying to do. Okay. I mean, it's to me, it's not that hard. I mean, it's not, they made it ambiguous by not getting this plat recorded right.
Well, there's no guarantee 200 South won't go, further to the east on that map. There's a large parcel there to be subdivided.
To the north of it.
Later on.
The only way.
To the north, but actually it's also to the east.
The only way it could is for the property owner to the north
to dedicate.
Dedicated as a 50-foot street, and mm-hmm. then it could be,
but it wouldn't be on my client's property.
No. And that's a possibility that they could, but.
Now, Heath, I've explained to the council that because the Olsons aren't a part of the amended plat, their protest doesn't count towards the requirement that there's a public hearing for consideration and approval or whatever of the plat amendment. So what I've indicated to my client is as soon as the plat, amended plat is filed and the notice is given, it should be set on the agenda of a city council meeting and then the council can make that determination.
Okay. Then it would be up to the council to decide whether or not.
Then it's up to
whether,
the council.
Whether we felt like that were, I mean, the council would decide whether they thought there was any liability for a suit from the Olsons against the city by
vacating
it.
Yeah, it's up to the council at that point to determine whether or not there's good cause, whether you think there's good cause for the approval of the amended plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that determination of good cause could include a number of different factors. It's not spelled out by Utah code, so it's kind of ambiguous like everything else in this case.
What if we filed a petition for declaratory judgment asking a judge to quiet title and determine the purpose and the beneficiary of any sort of easement, whether it's the city's and the public's in general, or it is owed to the owner of parcel A, the Olsons? If we did that and a court made a determination, I would assume that we would also make the city a party, but say, hey, look, as long as you agree that you'll abide by whatever the judge decides on this, because really it's a dispute between.
Right. I would think in that instance, the city would just simply take a neutral position and say, hey, look, whatever the court decides, we'll abide by.
Okay. Maybe that's the easiest way, and this gets put on hold, and we have a judge look at it the way and interpret it the way that I am pretty confident the judge will interpret it, that it's the city's for use of the public, right up to the edge of the property. And at that point in time, our question, and if they don't have some sort of implied easement that was reserved there, if they don't have an easement, they don't have harm or anything like that. And the question becomes, what is the purpose that the city wants that piece of property, or an easement on that piece of property? Why do they need to continue to allow people to go up or driveway, turn around or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's an alternative way of handling it, I think. And again, if from the city's perspective, I think we would just sort of stand back, take a neutral
and
position.
We wouldn't want to bring the city in to make them incur costs. They just have to be a party so that you guys are bound by whatever the court decides.
Then
right.
we would, I'm guessing, would go along with it.
Yeah, I think that's the way to make it a kind of a neutral decision as well, unbiased. And
well, it takes council off the hook a little bit in making that determination.
And it takes the city off the hook for the liability on either side.
Right.
Because if we decide it's a legislative issue, and if the court decides that it's more of a judicial issue,
yeah.
Is that kind of how it would work out also?
Well, I don't know that the... I don't think the distinction between legislative and judicial has any...
Because if it comes to us, that's our exercise. Our exercise
is
the legislative authority.
Yeah. Well, this gets kind of complicated, but typically, if you've got a plat amendment, that typically is an administrative function. But because the city didn't delegate or designate the ALUA to hear that, then it falls back to the city council. So the city council... in effect, makes that determination as an administrative body. But
for which we could attack an ultimate decision based on whether it was arbitrary or capricious.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. There's a number of different ways that you could attack it, or they could, you know.
I mean, it's ultimately probably going to be decided in a court anyway, right?
It possibly depends on how strongly either party feels after the city council makes a decision, if they, you know, were put in that position.
My question is, would the city council rather have us file this than ask for the item to be tabled pending the outcome of a piece of litigation? Then it kind of, it sets the stage.
Yeah.
It puts us properly.
Just off the top of my head, I would say that I think that would put this, I think city might prefer that position of just tabling it.
Then they wouldn't have to make an initial decision.
Right. Pending the outcome.
They're only making a decision based off of what the court finally decides.
It's the first item on the agenda. We can discuss it there and determine whether or not we want to table it or not.
I think we don't have anything really to consider at this point. We don't have an amended plat in front of us to review. So I think the only thing we can do is continue it until such time that we receive an application for an amended plat. If they elect not to file that and go the other route, it'll just simply be continued until that time. Okay. So I don't know that we have to have a lot of discussion about it. There's really nothing at this point to discuss.
Where it's on the agenda, we'll just...
Yeah, we can just simply...
Just say we're going to continue discussion.
Yeah.
And table it. But we would ask that, and I will leave this with the application and the plat itself, in electronic copy, with the city, we would ask that it be considered lodged and that it be on the agenda for your following council meeting, for which then you would table it. Okay, because we will get it filed, a declaratory judgment action filed. Mm-hmm. Just asking a judge to declare whose rights or what and whether.
Yeah.
So you'll table it 2 weeks. Now let's see.
We just have one item we're going to discuss on the next city council.
I would imagine you could put that
we
on.
We could probably do that. It's going to be a table.
Yeah, it's a quick table. He'll have that filed. He'll just simply motion to table this until, you know, until resolution of whatever lawsuit.
I'm telling you what we send out. There will be a city council meeting next week.
Sorry.
We're a meeting.
Oh, it's my fault. These guys got money they want to spend, and I've got to give it to them.
Budget amendment.
Okay. Well, is there any other questions that the council has for this? Micah, John, no other questions? Okay. All right. We'll close the meeting. Okay.
We don't have anything else to discuss today.
This one might have.